Lawmakers from both parties are praising the U.S. raid that the government says killed a key ISIS leader over the weekend in Syria. Delta Force commandos slipped across the border from Iraq to conduct the operation, which targeted a man known as Abu Sayyaf. Derek Harvey is director of the Global Initiative for Civil Society and Conflict at the University of Southern Florida. He's with us from Washington. And Derek Harvey, tell us more about Abu Sayyaf. Who was he exactly?
Well, he was a mid-level financial administrator, leader of the Islamic State, focused on his activities in the oil arena in southeast Syria.
How important was he to ISIS?
Well, mid-level leaders are reasonably replaceable. He was important, I think, for the most part, because of his connectivity to the financial networks and the information that he had about the command and control within the Islamic State.
What about his wife, who was captured?
We understand that his wife was intimately involved in some of the hostage activities as well as apportioning the distribution of the prisoners, particularly women from northwest Iraq, particularly Nineveh province.
Do you think it makes sense to have the United States going in and doing a raid like this for a person you describe as a mid-level leader?
Well, I think it's very important to do a raid like this, not because he was a mid-level leader, but because of the thumb drives, hard drives, computers, telephones, and the records that the Islamic State meticulously keeps. Keep in mind that back in the days of the surge in Iraq in the first place, we conducted a raid into Syria in which we gathered a great deal of information and extremely beneficial knowledge about the Al-Qaeda in Iraq network that allowed us to take action against multiple levels of the organization. Without that information gained from the intelligence-driven operation, we would not have been as successful.
But there are risks. What if one of the Special Forces commandos were injured or killed in a raid like this? The American people wouldn't have tolerated the idea that after President Obama had said we're not going to have boots on the ground in Syria, that there were indeed boots on the ground in Syria.
I think he's calibrated his comments to give him the wiggle room to conduct direct action raids in and out, but we're not going to maintain combat boots on the ground. He has clearly stated, I think, in the administration policy is that we will conduct raids not just in Syria, but in Yemen, in Afghanistan, and elsewhere when the value of the raid, the target, and the risk are assessed as being, at the end of the day, beneficial to the United States.
You are correct in that, and I want to play exactly what President Obama has said, and starting with his first declaration. Here it is.
The resolution we've submitted today does not call for the deployment of U.S. ground combat forces to Iraq or Syria. It is not the authorization of another ground war like Afghanistan or Iraq.
And this was back in February, by the way, when he was asking for another authorization for the use of military force against ISIS. Let's listen to the part that you're talking about that he said after that.
For example, if we had actionable intelligence about a gathering of ISIL leaders, and our partners didn't have the capacity to get them, I would be prepared to order our special forces to take action because I will not allow these terrorists to have a safe haven.
So how do you draw that line there between having boots on the ground and having a war and having it escalate into a situation like Afghanistan or Iraq and just sending in special forces here and there to conduct these operations?
Well, I think, first of all, with the Abu Sayyaf raid, it was driven by the belief that they would get a treasure trove, as they've already stated with spokesmen. They said they got a treasure trove of information. You can only get that if you put boots on the ground and conduct a raid, gather the materials, and you leave. You could do strikes against individuals and groups by air or with drones, but that doesn't give you the information. And if we're going to win this campaign, you have to gather more intelligence. This is a hard target because we don't have 160,000 troops on the ground. We've got a lot of no-go areas, so you need to be very precise and aggressive in going after key intelligence when you can get it. To your second point, Jeremy, when you increase the tempo and presence of ground combat operations, at a certain point, you're going to shift from a direct action, limited operations, calling in air support to a more broader direct action day-in, day-out ground campaign. We're nowhere close to anything like that with troops on the ground. What we have is about 6,000 contractors, civilians, and military personnel on the ground in Iraq today. And they're primarily doing training, building, and assisting, some intelligence. And some are embedded with some Iraqi units, particularly the Special Operations Forces, and they're calling for fire, providing intelligence support and targeting support. That's a long ways away from having troops on the ground fighting in cities or in the villages around Ramadi or in Tikrit or places like that. They're being very careful about making sure that they don't take losses on the ground.
That's Derek Harvey, a retired Army colonel and intelligence officer who is now the director of the Global Initiative for Civil Society and Conflict at the University of Southern Florida. Derek Harvey, thanks again.
Thank you, Jeremy. It's a pleasure to be here.